All right. This is going to be pretty amazing, Jukai. Certainly unprecedented in my experience, because we have eight ordinees and seven preceptors. We're all going to be the preceptors. We're all going to be lined up in a row, seated in chairs in the front of the zendo. And two of them are going to be our couple of our very esteemed lay Zen teachers, Ross Blum and Karen Sondheim, will be joining us in joining in giving the precepts to two students, Anna and Marley. And I think that's a really lovely thing. And again, so emblematic of Berkeley Zen Center, how we practice together, teach together, and take care of this sangha together. Yeah, I'm super happy this morning, I must say. The more the merrier. So it is about receiving the precepts. It is a, well, probably the most significant precept ceremony I can think of. Recently, somebody asked me for some examples of wedding services. I've done a number of weddings, so I have quite a collection of scripts. So I chose four choice ones. They're all precept ceremonies. I would never consider performing a wedding that didn't involve giving the bride and groom the Bodhisattva precepts, the 16 Bodhisattva precepts, following my teacher's example. Funerals. Also, precept ceremony. In a funeral, we give the deceased the precepts to help them on their way. Now, we could say a lot about the precepts. I think for the ordinees in general, it's a big deal that they're getting new clothing. Buddha's robe. It sure was for me. It was a very big deal. Actually, Linda and a couple of my friends did Jukai in 97. And I wanted to, but my responsibilities at AltaBase Medical Center kept me from, I could not go to the sewing classes. It was just out of the question. I couldn't work it out. So, of course, I came to the Jukai, and as we will this afternoon after the ceremony, we'll have a lovely reception. I don't know, probably tea and cookies, I'm guessing, something and lots of joy. Such a joyful thing. Just the most joyful thing. Ah. Mel comes right up to me, looks me in the eyes. He goes, "You're next." I said, "I know, boss. I know. I know. I'm on it. I'll figure it out." Which I did. Such sweet memories. Sojin also told me once, there's really only one precept. Be Buddha. Oh, okay. I like that. But then what am I supposed to do with that? I'm trying. But guess what? I mess up a lot. Like, really a lot. Dogen said, the life of a Zen student is one continuous mistake. So I'm very grateful for the 16 Bodhisattva precepts because they give me some guidelines, they give me some guardrails. Like, spell it out for me, please. Thank you very much. Thank you, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, for spelling it out for me. This is enlightened activity. Our actions of body, speech, and mind really matter. It really matters what we say. It matters how we act. It matters what we do. It affects everything around us, and vice versa. We are affected by, et cetera, et cetera. It really matters. So this is called, the relative realm. In the absolute realm, be Buddha. Sit Zazen. That's all. Sit Zazen, be Buddha. They say 1 minute of Zazen is 1 minute of Buddha. There he is up there, sitting so peacefully, doing some kind of esoteric mudra, which I have no idea what it is. But usually, somebody once told me, yeah, they put the Buddha on the altar because there didn't used to be YouTube videos, instructional videos. So you could just point to the Buddha and say, do that. Do like that. Sit upright. Be Buddha. Okay. But then, as we always say, you move the practice off the cushion into the world. Then how is it? How do you extend your Zazen practice into your daily life? That's the question. In particular, for an urban temple like Berkeley Zen Center, we have a handful of residents here, but it's not a monastery. It's not that kind of place. That's what I understand by Suzuki Roshi saying, not quite priest, not quite lay. Sure, I'm a priest, but we're not like in some fat training monastery where everybody's a priest, all doing the exact same thing, which, such places exist, and I can recommend it. But Berkeley Zen Center is not that kind of place. This is a place for everybody to do this body practice, regardless. All are welcome. All are welcome. All are bodhisattvas in training. And it's really so encouraging that we do this. I've heard Jukai referred to as Bodhisattva initiation ceremony. I like that. Like it's official. Now it's official. You put on Buddha's robe, you're karmically implicated. People see you, they say, oh yeah, that's a Zen practitioner. Yeah. And it's a responsibility, actually. First and foremost to yourself. But as I've said before, it's kind of like wearing a little sign that says, ask me about Buddhism. Which people will. And, that eighth grave precept, I vow not to be avaricious, it's often translated as, if it's for monks, for example, I vow not to withhold the Dharma assets. I vow not to withhold the Dharma. So We have a long-standing tradition in Soto Zen of not proselytizing. Hey, you should come and do this practice. Yeah, no, we don't really do that because guess what? You may hate it. I wouldn't want to be responsible for encouraging you to do something that you don't like. But if you are drawn to this practice, if you feel some affinity and you keep doing it, you might decide, this is my tribe. These are my people. I knew somebody who said, she told me, well, to be perfectly honest, I just wanted one of those bibs. That's not terrible. That's not terrible. I don't think so. It's funny. It's cute. I don't think it's so terrible. Dogen Zenji, Eihei Dogen Daiyosho. As you know, well, maybe you don't know, but his most significant life work, and he wrote a lot. It's called the Shobo Genzo, the Treasury of the True Dharma Eye, which consists of this big collection of essays that we call fascicles for some reason. And he was shooting for 100, but I think he only made it to 97. Close. Ugh. Died too young, 53 years old. Whew, what a life. Anyway, one of those fascicles is called Keisa Kudoku, which Kaz Ta-Nehisi translated as the power of the robe. It's a very long fascicle. There's a lot to it. In Keisa Kudoku, Dogen tells the story of the nun Upalavarna, one of the names of the women ancestors that we chant, who in a previous life was like a geisha or not Japan, so whatever, she was like somebody in the court who was just a fun person to keep around, I guess, not, apparently not a very serious person, and she put on an okesa as a joke. And then in her next life, she was born as a nun. I mean, she became a nun. In her next life, she became a nun because she had done that. Because she had put on the okesa as a joke. So you never can tell, You never can tell. I just wanted one of those bibs. Cool. That's fine. But should know that when you put on the okesa, the raksu, you are actually wearing the precepts. When we receive the raksu, we are wearing the precepts. We are. It's a way, I see it, in my opinion, it's a way to help us get the precepts into our bones. Yeah. So it's not something you're thinking about a lot. It's just how you behave, how you make your best effort to behave. Zen teacher, whom I greatly admire, Tony Patchell, he liked to say, they are not executive in content. The precepts are not, thou shalt not. It's not like that. It's just, this is how awakening beings behave. This is how bodhisattvas behave. This is how bodhisattvas operate in the world. I really enjoyed reading over Keisa Kudoku. Like I said, it's one of his longer ones. He has a lot to say about Buddha's robe. At the end of it, there's a postscript, something he added on later. which is kind of part of his journal of his time in China, which is another thing he wrote, which has been translated into English. But this is a postscript to Keisuke Kudoku. Dogen says, "Once, when I was in Song, China, practicing on a long sitting platform, one of these, called a tan, that's Chinese for platform. Practicing on a long sitting platform, I observed the monks around me. At the beginning of Zazen in the morning, they would hold up their kshayas, place them on their heads, and chant a verse quietly with palms together. Great is the robe of liberation, the robe of no form, the field of benefaction. I wear the Tathagata's teaching to awaken countless beings." This was the first time I had seen the kshaya held up in this way, and I rejoiced, tears wetting the collar of my robe. Although I had read this verse of veneration for the kshaya in the Agama Sutra, I had not known the procedure. Now I saw it with my own eyes. In my joy, I also felt sorry that there had been no master to teach this to me and no good friend to recommend it in Japan. How sad that so much time had been wasted. But I also rejoiced in my wholesome past actions. If I had stayed in my land, how could I have sat side by side with the monks who had received and were wearing the Buddha robe? My sadness and joy brought endless tears. So many feelings. Yeah. And I think there'll be a lot of feelings this afternoon. Yeah, I strongly suspect that. It's a truly, truly lovely thing. So I was researching this and researching the Keisuke part of the fascicle, Dogen quotes or inserts, I guess you could say, a verse section from a sutra, which I have no idea what the sutra is, and I couldn't find out. We can internet search. So I'm sure if I asked my friends, Charlie Picorni or Kokyo Henkel, one of them would tell me where this came from. Dogen is just like, the 10 excellent merits of the Okesa. Duh. Because he had the whole Buddhist canon at his fingertips. So he just puts it in there. Allegedly, the words of the Buddha from some Mahayana scripture. We chant this at Tazahara when we have sewing classes. At the beginning of the class, we will chant this short, well, not that short. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but it's a lovely thing. The 10 excellent merits of the Okesa. I found from summer of 1971, so the last year of Suzuki Roshi's life, a Dharma talk that was a part of a ceremony of receiving a robe. Apparently, students had sewed what we call Nyohoe Okesa, which is the variety that we sew. That's what Lori's wearing. That's what Linda is wearing right now. It's the kind where it has the flap that falls down over your left shoulder that the priests are constantly adjusting and reaching back as the flap is not flapping forward. And yeah, when you see that, it's because this is sewed according to a very old style that was revived by various Japanese teachers, including Koto Sawaki. It's an interesting history, interesting to read about. So Nyohoe means pure Dharma robe. Like, the OG. The other kind, style of Okesa that I was wearing when I did the full moon ceremony ties in the front like this. And yeah, it's equally an Okesa. That's all Sōjin Roshi wore for a long, long time till somebody sewed one for him. Apparently, they sewed one for Suzuki Roshi and he received it. They had this ceremony, and Reb Anderson read this English translation of the 10 excellent merits of the Okesa. And Suzuki Roshi gave a talk about it. He was joking about being, you may think I'm some venerable Zen teacher, but here I am receiving an Okesa for the first time, which I think is really lovely. That kind of spirit, beginner's mind, what he always emphasized. And in the Jukai, in all our ordination ceremonies, it's a rebirth, or a new birth. Everything's new. The ordinees might have been advised to wear new underwear, to take a bath and to be just as fresh as you can be, because you're new, you're newly born Bodhisattva. Linda and I went to a priest ordination ceremony for our dear friend Cam Isarik at Green Gulch last Sunday. Beautiful ceremony. And Linda and I, we got to be like visiting dignitaries. It was pretty cool. Sitting there on the tan. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. Jiryu, Dave's brother, the abbot of Green Gulch, he ordained Cam. On that occasion, when we do priest ordination, priests to be, the ordinee, when they enter the zendo, they're just wearing a kimono, not this robe. They receive this robe as part of the ceremony. Initially, when they come in, they're only wearing a kimono. It's like they're naked. It's the closest they can be to naked, and that's the feeling. Like they're just freshly hatched chick, all new. Then they're clothed in Buddha's robe. But the other thing that occurred to me, and that I really appreciate about this, how we hold Suzuki Roshi's spirit, how we are continuing to try to enact Suzuki Roshi's spirit, the two ceremonies we call, we could say Shuke Tokudo and Zaike Tokudo in Japanese. Shuke Tokudo means leaving home, attaining the way. Zaike Tokudo means staying home, attaining the way. They are so similar. The differences between the two ceremonies are few. Few. Just for priest ordination, you receive more stuff, and you put on an okesa, and you receive a rakusu, and priests' oryoki bowls. But the meat of the ceremony, the precepts, the avowal of karma, all the other parts of it, they're the same. Essentially, same ceremony. That's kind of what I really wanted to emphasize this morning, in the spirit of, being joined by lay teachers, the preceptors, and just how Berkeley Zen Center does it. How Berkeley Zen Center continues to uphold Suzuki Roshi's spirit. I think so. I think so. We were hanging out with Jerry, who's going to be here this afternoon, one of the preceptors. Linda and I and Jerry were hanging out together in the abbot's office the other day. And We're talking about, it's actually a lot of work to prepare for a Jukai for the preceptors. There's a lot of paperwork. You gotta make the lineage document, the Kechimyaku, which is a Japanese word meaning blood vein. That basically genealogical chart from the Buddha down to you. Ancestors, and then also a women ancestors document, circle of women ancestors, both of those, and then the fiddly wrappers, the paper wrappers that they go into. That's the hardest part for me. I imagine, in my Jukai cohort, there were 15 people received the precepts. I bet Sojin Roshi got good at it. He never had anybody doing it for him. Some teachers do. Some teachers get people to help do it for them. Not Sojin. And I bet he got pretty good at it. Anyway, fiddly stuff. And we were commenting, appreciating that it's silly to make comparisons, Here's me, I make fun of my calligraphy, old lefty, struggling with the inkbrush from over here. I'm just doing my best, And that's great. Because the spirit of Zen practice is just do your best, just to bring what you got. That's all. And what you got, that's the complete expression of who you are. That's your offering. Sojin always used to say this on the occasion of Jukai. Well, maybe not always, but often would say that each Rakusu is a complete expression of the person who sewed it. It's so significant that we sew our own rakusus. And, thanks to wonderful sewing teachers like Jean Selkirk and others, they basically look the same. Rebecca Maeno was my sewing teacher because there were 15 people. We actually had two sewing classes a week. Linda was doing the other one. But that's the on one time. One time I could come on the night, not because Linda was doing it. We barely aware of each other at that point. But one time I was there and Linda was the one helping me. But mostly it was Rebecca. Perfect. They're all perfect. I know a lot of people sewing their rakusus agonize over it. I made a mistake. Oh, I don't like that stitch. I don't like that stitch. And a lot of the time, sewing teachers are like, no, you are not going to take those stitches out and start over. Just keep going. Just keep going. Because it's perfect just the way it is. They're going to keep you on track. They're going to make it so that basically they all look the same. And yet each one is complete expression. I think I should, if someone's feeling discouraged, I should let them have a close look at this one. It's still hanging together. At the end of the ceremony where Suzuki Roshi received this new okesa, he gave some words of appreciation. And part of this I really touched my heart because I felt like this is Suzuki Roshi expressing his way expressing his vision for the practice of Zen in the United States, which I had I'd never read this before. I mean, I haven't read most of them, right? There's every Dharma talk that's been recorded has been transcribed. So there's a lot out there that's all accessible on the web. So here's some of what Suzuki Roshi had to say on that occasion. My spirit is always aiming at one thing, one truth, which can be true with everyone, layperson and priest, Japanese and American, and Indian people and European nation. We are in just one truth. That is why I always say it is not such an easy thing to achieve Buddha's way. But there is something which all of us aim at. Yogesa is the symbol of that oneness, the expression of this one goal, one spirit. I love that so much. All right. No, I'm not going to chant the whole thing, but I will chant. Not, I'm not going to chant it. I'm going to read it. The end of the 10 excellent merits of the Kshaya. I have now recited the 10 excellent merits of the Kshaya. For eons, more comments could be made, but I'll say this: a dragon who wears even a shred of Kshaya can't be devoured by a gold-winged Garuda. A person who holds the Kshaya while crossing the ocean will not fear dragons, fish, or harmful beings. Lightning and thunder, heaven's wrath, will not frighten a monk who wears Kshaya. When a layperson carries the Kshaya with respect, no evil spirits draw near. When one arouses beginner's mind, leaves home and worldly affairs to practice the way, demon palaces in the 10 directions will tremble, and such a person will immediately realize the Dharma King's body. Boom. About that? Just a dragon who wears even a shred of a Kshaya. I just love to visualize that dragon. Just a little shred. Where'd you get that shred? Where'd you get that from? Well, that's all I have to say. Just my words of appreciation for this amazing, auspicious day and the beauty of receiving the 16 bodhisattva precepts and Buddha's robe. So we have time for questions. Thanks for your attention. You could not put it directly in front of me, just right over here, right over here. Just a little bit closer. Yeah. That's it. That's it like that. Yeah. Greg's playing with the laptop now.
Thank you, Greg, for your words. Very
Morning, Tom.
inspiring. And congratulations to all the people receiving Jukai today. It's, yeah, very magical, powerful moment. And I appreciated how you said, I look at my Rakusu and think, wow, that's kind of sloppy, especially as I was looking at in front of me, Joe's beautiful. Okay, so I appreciate you saying every stitch is that full expression of who we are. So to from say that, my question is, what do I do with this thing when I die?
Oh,
I should
well,
probably tell my wife.
you should tell your wife. It could go with you. You could, we Feelings. A Hozanroshi in here, right? In the middle of the Zendo. Yeah. He was wearing an Okesa. Then did that beautiful ceremony where we chanted the Enmei Juku Kanagyo and saw him off into the van. Van went off to Pacific internment. He's still wearing that Okesa. You could do that. Yeah. Or you could leave it to somebody. Maybe someone would like to have it as a memento of your beautiful life. It's really up to you.
Thank you.
We have one question online, Greg.
So we do. It's Kenpo.
Hi, Greg Roshi. Thanks for your talk.
Hello. You're welcome.
Your story about the person who said that they just wanted one of those bibs me of something that Hozan, I believe, said about Ron Nestor when he came to Berkeley Zen Center for the first time. He saw Ron and he said to himself, "I want what he's got." Yeah, so I still feel like that, especially around Jukai time when I see the new ordinees. So thanks for sharing your talk.
So just I'm not sure I understood you. That's something that Alan said about Ron. I want what he's got.
Yeah, it wasn't limited to the Rakusu, but it was something more about his character.
Yeah, well, that's something they say in the recovery work. You know,
Interesting.
that's something you hear a lot in recovery. Someone will say about their sponsor, right?
Wow.
You
Yeah,
choose the sponsor. It's like, I want what he's got.
wow, that's amazing.
That's the
Well,
way I felt about Mel, that's for sure.
yeah. Cool. Well, thanks again.
Thank you. Yes, Lori.
We often repeat this thing about how they're not commandments, but honestly, I would say they're not not commandments. Or methinks thou dost protest too much, or they're sort of not that different. I don't think the intention of the Christian commandments necessarily was fundamentally that different from the intention of our precepts.
I'm sure you're right. The way I understand that is, yeah, and I think I said briefly, it's not, I'm not thinking about it. Or I want to practice in such a way that I don't have to think about it because they're in my bones. Yeah. So it's a different way of relating to it. You know, it's not verbal, I guess I could say. They're spelled out in language because, you know, we're the language using animal. And that's very helpful. To me, that's quite helpful that they're spelled out that way. And the way, as I see it, anyway, in my point of view, the way we practice with them is, yeah, it's not policing, you know, or even self-censoring. Exactly. At least not on that sort of frontal lobe neocortex level. It's the whole body thing. That's how I think of it. I think that's how I relate to it. I'm not expressing myself very well, I don't think.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Okay, thank you for the encouragement.
I think that we try to avoid having it be like a guilt trip or a shame
Correct.
and we I just quite I just wonder if they if in the original Moses putting down the tablets or whatever. I'm not sure they meant for that either. We'll never know, probably.
Sabe.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Gregor.
Wait for the mic. For the people at home, the
Can you
people in
provide
Zoom.
any directly?
You mean like this? Okay. Thank you, Greg Roshi. I very much appreciated how you talked about the various types of robe as the same robe and painted for us this picture of this endless field, this endless robe of which all these interlocking rectangles. And today people receive their robe, but what's interesting is on the back, there's a individual expression of their new Dharma name, which is unique to them. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that and also about what it means for a preceptor to choose the name for the ordinee.
Well, I will say a little more this afternoon, a little bit. But I could say now. Well, to start with, generally, in this tradition, this milieu, I say Suzuki Roshi lineage. You know, not too long ago, Linda and I went to Chicago for Branching Streams Conference. All these, my gosh, there's so many in around the world, even Suzuki Roshi lineage sanghas coming together and sharing. Yeah, I think it's pretty much across the board. We wouldn't give the precepts to someone I met yesterday. Right? There's someone you had a relationship with. We used to say, if you've been coming to Berkeley Zen Center for a year and you're interested in receiving the precepts, you know, let Mel know. It was pretty basic, you know, but he already had a sense of me before he was thinking about the name. So it's an expression of that. And frequently we miss the mark. That's true. That's true. Sometimes people don't like their name at all. That happens. Unusual, but we're just like, what? But you know, the teachers make their best effort. Yeah, oh, I could say now. I collaborated with Karen Sondheim because Marley has been studying the precepts with Karen for over a year. You know, I've barely been here for over a year. I certainly haven't, you know, I definitely have a wonderful practice relationship with Marley now. And so it was a lot of fun for Karen and I over lunch at Stonehenge to cook up a Dharma name for Marley. I think everybody has their own process, and there's lots of help resources available. In my case, if I come up with a name I like, then I vet it with my friend Yuji Ito, who lives in Japan. But he had practiced, he was part of the Soto Zen International at Sokoji, and then he also practiced with us at Tassajara, and, you know, really. His English is quite good, and so he can give that perspective of, you know, one time I proposed a Dharma name to Yuji, and he said, "Well, that's pretty good, except unless if they went to Japan, it might sound like you're calling somebody a simpleton." So you want that information, you know. It's very helpful to vet it with a Japanese-speaking person because they're Japanese names. What we do in this tradition, you know, we there and then we do our best to make them in the kanji, the characters, and there are four characters: way name, dharma name, right? And yeah, we just do our best. It's Colleen.
I just want to share another fun Roc Sue story. Our mutual friend Danny Parker in Florida lives rather close to Cape Canaveral. And he's now a priest, but before when he did his Jukai, his kids thought that the Rockasoo was a rocket suit. So
Of course.
there is also that way of thinking about the robe.
Well, I hope, I truly hope that everyone who receives the precepts today will keep their practice down to earth. This is our way. Stay grounded. Don't go flying off into the stratosphere. Well, maybe a little bit. It can be pretty joyful, so you might go in the stratosphere a little bit. Then come back. Please come back and stay grounded. Okay. Feels good. Right? Excellent.